Hello, this is Dave with the Pantograph for Friday, August 17th, 2018. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Arrests Point to Spread of Meth. Case one of biggest for Bloomington Normal, police say, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. In one of the largest drug busts involving the alleged sale of methamphetamine in Bloomington, two men were charged Thursday with possession and delivery of about 12 ounces of the drug. Jeremy Cagle, 40, of Marquette Heights, and Charles Gilliams, 24, of Bloomington, were arrested by Bloomington police in Carlock, following what authorities said was Cagle's sale of meth to a confidential police source. The drugs have an estimated street value of $27,000, according to Assistant State's Attorney N. Chi Lin. According to a statement read by the prosecutor in court, Cagle sold 30.6 grams of meth to the police source. He then traveled to a gas station on a motorcycle where he got into a vehicle with Gilliams, said Lin. During a search of Cagle's motorcycle, police found more than 10 ounces of meth and 26 amphetamine pills, for which he did not have a prescription, said the statement. Cagle was out on bond for pending meth and weapons charges in Peoria County at the time of his arrest here, said Lynn. Gilliams is accused of possessing a small amount of meth. Cagle was jailed in lieu of posting $15,035. Gilliams was released on a $5,000 personal recognizance bond. Bloomington Police spokesman Elias Mendiola said Wednesday's arrest represents one of the largest meth cases for Bloomington. Police are finding more crystal meth, known as ice, that typically comes into the country from Mexico, said Mendiola. Since January, Bloomington police have made at least 8 arrests involving more than a dozen people who are accused of possession or distribution of the drug. 6 of the 8 cases involve multiple suspects. It's common for those charged with selling meth in Bloomington to come from outside the city, said police. In a February case, police arrested a Bloomington man after officers found evidence of meth production in his motel room. The state police meth response team assisted officers in removing the dangerous chemicals from the motel. McLean County Sheriff John Sandage said his officers also have encountered meth, including the more potent Mexican version, more often in the past 6 months. Most of the arrests involve possession rather than distribution of the drug, he said. He theorized that Mexican drug cartels boosted heroin and meth shipments in response to the shrinking U.S. market for marijuana in states where use of the drug has been legalized. Normal police also are reporting an increase in meth investigations this year. We have had 3 or 4 investigations this year compared to 1 or 2 over the past 10 years, said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. The growing opioid epidemic that killed 76,000 people in the U.S. last year may have overshadowed the resurgence of meth seen in Illinois and other parts of the country. According to Illinois State Police data, police seizures of meth manufacturing labs peaked at 973 in 2005, before taking a sharp dip to less than 400 in 2008. Legislation that led to a crackdown on the purchase of ingredients used to make meth contributed to the decline. But by 2015, the lab seizures had increased to 723, according to the most recent state police data. The next article is titled, Slim Logan County Goal of Outdoor Workout Site. Fitness Court Aims to Cut Overweight Obesity Rate of 66% by Paul Swite, Lincoln. State-of-the-art Outdoor Fitness Center, the first of its kind in Illinois, opened Thursday in the center of a county with one of Illinois' higher overweight and obesity rates. But some of the more than 100 supporters of Fitness Court who attended the launch party see the role of the outdoor gym as more than a way for Logan County to sweat down its overweight and obesity rate of 66%. "We want to see Lincoln become a healthier town," said Kristen Garule of Lincoln, representing Rep's Gym in Lincoln and the Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital, ALMH, Foundation. She participated in a fitness challenge to demonstrate exercises that can be done on the court, and then assisted launch party attendees in exercising. "This is offering an outlet for kids," continued the Bloomington Normal native. "There is a big drug problem in Lincoln, Illinois." "It's about health and fitness," added her husband, Mario Garul, who also represented Rep's Gym and participated in the challenge. "It's also a way to bring our community together." Fitness Court is on the site of the former ALMH building at 255 8th Street, which was torn down several years ago. The hospital relocated to a new building at 200 Stalnut Drive, Lincoln. The outdoor body weight circuit training court is free and open to anyone from dawn to dusk, said Angela Stoltenberg, director of the ALMH Community Health Collaborative. Fitness Court is a product of a business called the National Fitness Campaign. About 25 fitness courts have opened nationwide, with more in development. But the Lincoln Fitness Court is the first in Illinois, Stoltenberg said. The fitness court, erected on shock-resistant sports flooring, includes about 30 pieces of equipment and can accommodate as many as 28 people at once. The equipment allows for core, squat, push, lunge, pull, agility, and bending exercises that may be adapted for beginner, intermediate, and advanced exercises, says Angie Whiteman, a Community Health Collaborative specialist. The exercises are depicted on a fitness court wall, but there also is an app for the exercises. A schedule of free classes will begin on the fitness court on Friday. The National Fitness Campaign contacted the City of Lincoln, which looped in the ALMH Collaborative. "Evidence shows that communities are healthier when they have access to fitness opportunities," Stoltenberg said. "And this is free, state-of-the-art, well thought out, and accommodates every fitness level. We know obesity is the root of a lot of diseases, and we, Logan County, also have high rates of diabetes and cardiovascular disease," Stoltenberg said. The ALMH Foundation bought the court and contracted to have it installed on what is now city property, Stoltenberg said. "This is a gift of the ALMH Foundation to the city. It's a $140,000 project. Logan County has a high obesity rate, and we in this county are embracing a culture of fitness," said Ron Keller, a Lincoln alderman. "This is state of the art. It's out in the open. You don't need a membership, and it's free to anybody to use," Keller said. "Other than the health benefit, this is a quality of life issue." Among families trying fitness court following the demonstration were Erin Haynes of Lincoln and her children, Emma, 9, and Wyatt, 8. "I'm here because I decided to get into fitness and teach my family how to be healthier," Erin Haynes said. "I have fibromyalgia. When I do fitness, I feel better. Since I am working out, they want to work out with me. Fitness court is something we can do together. My mom likes fitness, so we want to learn about it," Emma said. "I think it's awesome that everybody gets to have fun. I think it's an excellent thing for our community to become healthier all together in a family atmosphere," Erin Haynes said. "Tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., I'll be here." The next article is titled "Illinois Law Seeks to Keep Gas Out of Aquifer" by Derek Bay, Mahomet. A critical source of McLean County drinking water is expected to be safer under a new law signed Thursday by Governor Bruce Rauner. Owners of underground natural gas storage fields must report gas leaks that could contaminate water sources that communities rely on and fund annual inspections through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Those steps are intended to prevent future incidents like the 2016 natural gas leak that left several Champaign County residents with contaminated drinking water from the Mahomet Aquifer, the primary source of drinking water for more than 500,000 residents across 16 counties, including McLean and Macon. The state's Environmental Protection Agency previously increased oversight of the aquifer in response to the leak. In other action, legislators also passed a law banning storage of certain types of industrial waste, including PCBs, at municipal landfills, including one at Clinton above the aquifer in 2015. Though the latest bill was a bipartisan effort with five sponsors, Rauner said in a news release that State Senator Chapin Rose, a Mahomet Republican, was essential in bringing it to fruition. Rose told the Pantograph the law may have a minimal effect on McLean County because there's currently only one gas storage field near the aquifer, the People's Gas field that leaked in 2016, and it only reaches as far as Bellflower, a village near the county's eastern edge. Decatur doesn't usually draw from the aquifer and is not near the field. Rose said the law could protect water bound for McLean County, however. If a couple thousand cubic feet of natural gas is in the water and traveling, who knows where it will end up, he said. Rose said of the new regulation, "This is one of those things where you wake up in the middle of the night and say, you've got to be kidding me. How is this not already the law? This aquifer is our life source in central Illinois, so it's incumbent upon all of us to do everything we can to manage and protect this water supply for future generations," he said. "It fuels everything from business to bathing to summer swimming pools to agriculture." Rose said a task force of local officials, including Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, helped with the proposal and is preparing a report of public policy suggestions for the aquifer to publish late this year. Continuing with local and state news, an article titled, "Downtown Store Opens, Vaughn Champs Offers Locally Made Gifts, Jewelry, Art, and Apparel" by Maria Nagel, Bloomington. The new Vaughn Champs boutique in downtown Bloomington is being compared to the Garlic Press, a longtime popular shopping destination in Uptown Normal. "I'll take that as a compliment," said Vaughn Champs owner Carmen Champion. "I love the Garlic Press." The boutique, located in the former Bill's Key and Lock Shop at 402 North Main Street, opened July 18th. "This has been about a three-year brainchild," said Champion. "I wanted to find and create a space that people could be downtown and easily pop into and get a gift or a card and leave. I also wanted to create a space that was open later at night." The store, whose name means "from the fields," features jewelry, paintings, ceramics, metalworks, homemade soaps, candles, handmade lamps, and other products made by 13 mostly local artisans. There is a variety of gift items, purses, Galena Canning Company sauces, glazes and rubs, pillows, scarves, women's apparel, and yoga accessories. "I like to have everything blended in so it just looks like home. Everything is for sale," she said. The boutique's hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 4 p.m. Sunday. Champion said it was important that her store stay open until 8 on weeknights. "One of the things that separates downtown Bloomington from Normal is we kick all the shoppers out at 6 p.m. Because nearly all of the shops close at 6, said Champion. Most people work until 6, and when people go downtown to eat at night, there are no shops open for them to wander into. There's Red Raccoon. Boys Bay is open sometimes. There's just not a lot of spaces like that. We as business owners just have to work together to create that warmth downtown, she said. Being open is how we do that. I would like to help facilitate that environment. These big box stores are closing because people shopping there don't feel like they're personal or special. Champion is no stranger to downtown Bloomington. She opened Main Street Yoga at 418 North Main Street in January 2015. It's located a half a block away from her new store. I love downtowns, said Champion. When I was 20, I was in downtown Champaign before what it is now. There were like 5 bars. There wasn't anything down there. Downtown Champaign is now completely different. People started investing their money in it. It was the business owners that made that shift. They just decided they were going to be their own change. Next article is titled, Third Party Chairman Leaving Bloomington Normal Race. Libertarian Morris Ends County Board Bid Off to Chicago by Derek Bay, Bloomington. The head of the state's Libertarian Party is moving to the head of the state. Bennett Morris, chair of the Libertarian Party of Illinois, will move from Bloomington Normal to Chicago, he announced Thursday, meaning he must also drop out of the November 6th race for McLean County Board. It is bittersweet to leave this community. What I will share about the job is that I am remaining with my current employer, said Morris, a marketing lead at State Farm. I don't foresee this move significantly changing my work as state chair. We have outstanding activists in the Chicago area, just as we do in central and southern Illinois, and our leadership team works very well together, despite geographic differences, he continued. Locally, the McLean County Party is in great hands, with Steve Seuss as chair. I look forward to helping our local party in Chicago and the parties in surrounding counties. Morris, who became state chair in April, after 2 years as county chair, said in a news release his proudest accomplishment here in McLean County was achieving established party status to finally give voters a real choice. Because Libertarian Gary Johnson got more than 5% of McLean County's votes for president in 2016, 5.9%, his party is now recognized as established, giving local Libertarians much easier access to the ballot. Officials say McLean is the only Illinois county where that's happened. As a result, Libertarian candidates are running for 8 of the 10 open county board seats on the November ballot and a county-wide office. Morris told the Pantograph last month he hopes to get established party status statewide, giving Libertarians easier ballot access in every county, including for Congress and the General Assembly, where lawmakers have made it very difficult for third-party candidates to get on the ballot. Morris is the latest in a string of state Libertarian leaders from the Twin Cities. Officials have said they don't know precisely why the party is more popular locally than in other parts of the state. Morris said he has no plans to endorse either of the remaining candidates for County Board District 7, Republican incumbent Ryan Schrichlau and Democrat Sharon Chung. The Libertarian Party can still choose to slate a new candidate before the August 29th deadline, said Morris. Seuss said the party has no immediate plans to slate a candidate in Bennett's district. However, because this late in the game, it'd be tough to find a suitable replacement, barring any previously unknown potential candidate stepping up. I'd like to personally thank Bennett for his service to our local chapter, said Seuss. Ballot access would not have been possible without him. I knew I had big shoes to fill taking the chairmanship, and now I will have to fill them without him around. Continuing with the next article, titled Democrats in Springfield Blast Rauner by John O'Connor. Springfield. Joe Biden bowed out as keynote speaker, but Illinois Democrats matched the verbal salvos from Republican opponents at their annual state fair rally on Thursday that marked the informal start of the fall campaign. Biden, the former vice president, did not attend the Democratic County Chairs Association brunch because of illness. His pinch hitter, a rising Democrat from Indiana, stepped up with his own critique of President Donald Trump's America and the state of Illinois after nearly 4 years of GOP Governor Bruce Rauner. Pete Buttigieg, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, said that Rauner, a private equity investor, had promised to bring a business approach to government. This governor was handed lemons, and he took those lemons and miraculously turned them into a dumpster fire, Buttigieg said. Who runs a business like that? Rauner's challenger is J.B. Pritzker, the Democratic billionaire heir to the Hyatt hotel chain, whom the Republican campaign has tried to link to the powerful Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan of Chicago. Madigan has been primarily responsible for blocking Rauner's agenda of business-friendly, anti-union changes that the governor unsuccessfully demanded in exchange for a state budget agreement. We know that the promise of Illinois outweighs the problems of Illinois, Pritzker said to a crowd of about 3,000. We know that we have to fight to put Springfield back on the side of working families. Rauner has said that Pritzker is Madigan's pawn and that the two plan to increase income taxes further. Pritzker has said he wants to change the Constitution to allow a graduated income tax that will produce more revenue through higher rates on higher incomes. We should reverse the damage that Bruce Rauner has done to the state, Pritzker told reporters after the brunch. We're $11 billion further in debt in this state as a result of his intransigence and his unwillingness to compromise. Pritzker accused Rauner of attempting to drive a wedge between Democrat-heavy Chicago and the rest of the state, saying he's so divisive that he's divided his own party. Rauner campaign spokesman Will Allison responded, Republicans are united to defeat J.B. Pritzker's agenda of higher taxes and more corruption. It's Pritzker and the Democrats who are divided since none of them have the courage to mention Mike Madigan's name. Democrats downplayed the fact that Madigan, also the chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party, ducked out before the end of Thursday's program, not mentioning House candidates in his speech or posing for photos. The next article, titled Davis Aide Fired, Faces Battery Count by Pantograph Staff, Springfield. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis apologized to Democratic opponent Betsy Dirksen Londegren on Thursday after the field director for his re-election campaign was arrested on aggravated battery charges following an incident at Londegren campaign event. Levi Lovell, 25, was arrested Wednesday evening outside J.P. Kelly's bar after an altercation with two attendees of the Londegren event and a bar employee, police said. Davis, a Taylorville Republican, said Lovell was fired Thursday. His actions go against everything I stand for and go directly against what I have been promoting, which is more civility in politics, he said in a statement. This kind of behavior will never be tolerated on my campaign or with anyone on my staff. A spokeswoman for Davis also confirmed that he called Londegren personally to apologize. Video obtained by WCIA-TV shows Lovell appearing to pester Londegren and her husband at a campaign fundraiser at J.P. Kelly's and attempting to record them on cell phone video. Lovell is also seen being escorted from the bar and shoving another man outside. Springfield Police Lieutenant Brian Oakes said Lovell showed up to the event purposely trying to record members of Betsy Dirksen Lonergan's campaign, trying to get them to say something inappropriate. Oakes said Lovell smelled like an alcoholic beverage and was believed to be intoxicated. Lovell's bond was later set at $7,500, WCIA reported. Lonergan, in a statement, said she was relieved that her family, staff, and supporters were unhurt and that the incident did not escalate further. Without referring to Lovell by name, she said he was mistaken if he thought his actions would slow her down. "Nasty, divisive politics do nothing for our community," she said. "I will continue to hold public town halls, campaign with civility, and show this office and voters the respect they deserve." Davis campaign manager Matt Butcher said Lovell was fired immediately. "As soon as I was made aware of the incident, his employment was immediately terminated," Butcher said in a statement. "This campaign has a zero-tolerance policy for harassment or violence of any kind." Next article, titled "Man Hurt in Two-Car Crash in West Normal" by Derek Bay. Normal. A 34-year-old man was seriously injured Wednesday after the car he was driving hit a parked car and flipped over onto the sidewalk of Cottage Avenue in Normal. Details were not available Thursday on the driver, who was transported to Advocate Bromen Medical Center and appeared conscious after the crash at 6:01 a.m. near the intersection of South Cottage and Hovey Avenues. "He had what we would consider pretty bad injuries," said Normal Police Lieutenant Nick Thacker. "They didn't appear to be life-threatening, but significant enough, we called out our accident reconstruction team." Thacker said the investigation is ongoing. No accident report had been filed as of Thursday afternoon. Thacker said the police report showed no passengers or other drivers were involved in the crash. Details on seatbelt usage and drug or alcohol usage were not yet available. The next article, "State to Up Penalties for Drivers Who Text," by the Associated Press, Springfield. People caught texting while driving will face stiffer penalties under a new Illinois law. Starting July 1, 2019, drivers caught texting will be issued a moving violation that will go on their driving record. Anyone convicted of 3 moving violations in a 12-month period may have their license suspended. Under the current law, that took effect in 2014, a first offense for texting while driving is a non-moving violation and doesn't affect a person's driving record. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Friday, August 17th, 2018. Please stay tuned.